Our Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this opportunity to present your word. I pray, Father, as we study the topic of gossip, that you would open our minds and our hearts to everything that you have for us. And I pray, Father, that you would teach us to teach our tongues to be more like Jesus. When we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The school year is upon us again, and many of you have prepared children for the return to school. Some of you are returning to homeschool your children. We too are going to embark in a new class, Gossip 101. We will learn the definition, vocabulary, scope and sequence, among other aspects of this very difficult and challenging class study. I am so often surrounded by the effects of and the questions about gossip. We have all had gossip expressed to us, and most of us, ashamedly, have gossiped ourselves. There are many misunderstandings about gossip. Often we say what we should not, and as often do not say what we should. Rather than entering into the next conversation unprepared about the topic of gossip, it is far wiser to be armed with the biblical principles about our tongue. Our underlying goal and the bedrock foundational principle to start our study of gossip is seen in the first verse on your outlines. Follow along as I read Proverbs 31:26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. If we always open our mouths with wisdom, and if we always have upon our tongue the law of kindness, we will never gossip. However, opening our mouths with wisdom can often be a difficult decision, because it seems that what we feel must be said may not be kind. No wonder King David prayed in Psalm 119, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." God's word will teach us to have the discernment we need to know the difference between what should be said and what should not. King David knew that discernment could only come from the wisdom gained from God, and David taught his son Solomon this truth. For Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, "A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment." So we have quite a list already in controlling our tongues. We need to open our mouth with wisdom. We need to have the law of kindness in our tongue. We need to show good judgment, have knowledge, show discernment, and have proper timing. It seems too much to hold in our hand, yet we must hide it all in our hearts. How? How? So let's break the subject of gossip into bite-sized pieces. First, look at Roman numeral 1 on your outlines. Gossip 101, definition. In an article about the biblical parameters of gossip, Christian author Richard L. Strauss used an excellent working definition of gossip, differentiating it from merely a critical spirit. And I have that on your outline. Follow along as I read it. While a critical spirit is the preoccupation with the faults of others, gossip is talking about those faults to people who cannot do anything about them, people who are neither a part of the problem nor a part of the solution. Let's read that again slowly. While a critical spirit is the preoccupation with the faults of others, gossip is talking about those faults to people who cannot do anything about them, people who are neither a part of the problem nor a part of the solution. Now, keeping in mind this working definition of gossip, look at the next verse on your outline. Follow along as I read James 4:11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Now, this word evil simply means to speak against. It does not make a distinction between truth and falsehood. It encompasses anything that incriminates another or causes the listener to think poorly of the one spoken against. We are in error when we somehow feel if it is true, we can always repeat it. Now remember, the Bible is setting parameters, which we spoke of earlier, opening our mouth with wisdom, the law of kindness in our tongue, good judgment, knowledge, discernment, timing. As we now have a good working definition of gossip, and we have clearly set parameters to control our possible lapse into gossip, Gossip 101 moves into the vocabulary aspect of this class, Roman numeral 2 on your outlines. You know, I'm often amazed how we gravitate to books that explain the Bible, and we seem to steer clear of the Bible explaining itself. When Deuteronomy 29:29 reminds us, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law," we have distinct walking orders. Those things which are revealed to us, that we may do all the words of the law. This precious book best explains itself, and the Word of God was given to us to direct us. It is simple enough for a child to grasp for saving faith. It is clear, therefore, for the guidance God intended for us, and that includes our topic of gossip. So onward to vocabulary. Now, I'm going to be giving you examples of verses containing the various aspects of people who gossip. Number one, talebearer. Talebearer. A talebearer whispers or murmurs negative information about another. Now, this word draws to my mind that aside comment where we put our hand up to our mouth. Beware of this action. That should be a tip-off to you that you are possibly going to be a talebearer in the next few moments. The verse I have on your outline is Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. The words of a talebearer wound deeply. The wounds are cut into the heart of the person who has been gossiped about, as well as the person hearing the gossip. So remember, our action to assess is when our hand goes over our lips and we turn our head. Are we going to be murmuring or whispering something negative about another? Next in our vocabulary is backbiter. Backbiter. A backbiter talks behind another's back, and that has the connotation of covering or secrecy. Now, the interesting verse I put on your outline is from Proverbs 25:23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. This is telling us how to stop a backbiting tongue, by an expression on our face. Now the word angry, angry countenance, which means angry face, as it is used here, means to denounce, to express indignation, to be indignant. This verse gives us a clue how to stop people from backbiting to us by showing our unhappy, unaccepting face. If people in your sphere of influence begin to know that you do not respond openly to gossip, they will stop bombarding you with it. Now, if you find yourself thinking, "She always gossips to me," you may not be sending the message that you will not receive it. So our action to assess in the learning of the word backbiter is asking ourselves, is our face welcoming and eager to hear more? Or does it rightfully register displeasure when hearing backbiting? Now, three examples stand out in my mind, in my own experience, all of which occurred years ago, and none of which include the present parties listening to me today. I was attending a Christian activity where one of our usual group could not attend. Someone brought this person's name up and then commenced to comment on some recent questionable choices this person had made. I was beginning to get uncomfortable, but no one else was saying anything or changing the subject. But all of a sudden, one young woman stood up and said, "I'm going to leave this conversation. This is very negative talk about a person who's not here." Later on, I sought this brave young woman and thanked her for her godly example. It wasn't easy to say what she said in a group of people, but it needed to be said, and it was a wonderful example for me to see. Next, then there was a dear older saint who had a critical spirit, and she seemed to have a negative comment about many church members, especially the pastors when we lived in Pennsylvania. So I asked my pastor's wife how I can best handle these type of negative comments. And my pastor's wife suggested I phone the woman and say this: "I need to ask you my forgiveness. I allowed you to speak unkindly about our pastor the other day on the phone, and I did not stop you. Would you please forgive me?" Now, this has some important elements here I want to point out, because when we listen to gossip and allow it to go on, we are stepping into the wrong as well. This was the last time I had to deal with a critical spirit of gossip from this dear sister in Christ, and it didn't hinder our friendship in any way. My last example was a more difficult one, because the critical spirit of gossip about a mutual friend was repeated and very unkind. I had spoken to my friend about it, but to no avail. She just didn't stop the comments. It finally came down to my saying something like this to my friend: "You really seem to have a problem with our mutual friend, and you do not seem to be able to get through it alone. So this is what we're going to do. The next negative thing you say about her to me, I am going to her home and pick her up and bring her back to your house. And the three of us are going to sit down prayerfully and work this out." And this approach finally worked thoroughly. God expects women of the word to sensitively and privately confront sin, and gossip is sin. If my approach sounds extreme or too harsh, it's because we have a desensitized view of the sin of gossip. God hates anyone who sows discord among the brethren. Nipping gossip in the bud is the very best thing you can do for the gossiper as well as the person gossiped about. So let's review in our vocabulary so far actions we need to assess. In the talebearer, when our hand goes over our lips and our heads turn, we need to stop and think, is the next thing I'm going to say going to label me a talebearer? With the backbiter, do we have an open, accepting face that invites more backbiting, talking behind another person's back? Our next vocabulary word is slanderer. Slanderer. And this, a slanderer speaks against another with a desire to do harm. Look at Psalm 101, verse 5, the verse I used as an example for the word slanderer. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. This is a serious condemnation by God. And what the word slanderer does, it adds to the aspect of gossip, evil intent. Those things spoken were intended to harm. Now, trying to put a familiar face on all of this, the kind of example this may be is we may hear something that upsets us very much, and we may be very righteously angry about a wrong that has been inflicted on another person. Where the problem occurs is when, in this state of mind, we're going to tell another person what just happened. So the action to assess is when our eyes kind of slip down, our lips are pretty tight together, and we're speaking rapidly. We are still very upset about what we heard, and we actually desire the person to whom we are speaking to be as indignant as we. We want that person to be as upset. And unfortunately, that means when we're speaking against another with our desire to do harm, we are walking on thin ice regarding being a slanderer. And finally, in a vocabulary is the word whisperer, whisperer. And a whisperer is a secret slanderer. I have on your outlines as an example, Romans 1:29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Look at this list. Look into which pot the Lord God is stirring the whisperer, murderer, fornicator, the person filled with all unrighteousness. Even the word whisperer seems to hiss. Whisperer. As I was studying for this entire study tonight, I began to focus on this word, whisperer. Now, I'm not sure this is going to be the case 100% of the time in 100% of the situations, but if something about another must be whispered, we need to assess if it should be said at all. If you were whispering, would you stop if the person about whom you were speaking walked up to the conversation? That whispering aspect or the secrecy seems to be a key with many transgressions into gossip. So an action that you could assess would be something as simple as when you are on the phone in your home, do you find that you have to walk into a private area where others in the house cannot hear you speaking? That may be a tip-off to you that you're going to be a whisperer. Now, I exhort you to revisit this vocabulary list until the characteristics of each is so well recognized that it can be detected in your conversation as early as possible. This is my heart's desire for my own tongue, and we all remember those vocabulary lists in our own school experiences. There isn't any easy way of learning them but just review, 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 and going over them until we remember them. So we have progressed a bit in Gossip 101, from a working definition to our vocabulary assignment. Next, look to Roman numeral 3, Gossip 101, homework. Gossip 101 will not earn each of us an A without some work. And there are pitfalls that will sideline our desire to open our mouths with wisdom and have in our tongues be the law of kindness. In the schools and the colleges I attended, there were always those who studied and did their work, and those who chose not to heed deadlines and instructions. So let it not be said that we are forgetful hearers tonight. Follow along as I read the next verse on your outlines from Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. There are two choices for homework contained in this verse. Will you do your homework assignment and seek love by covering those negative things you hear of one another? Or will you fail to do your homework and repeat a private matter, separating good friends? I will never forget when one of my very closest friends many years ago repeated to another one of her close friends a very private matter I had discussed with her. And I felt it was the last private thing I could ever tell her, though we remained good friends. Look at the second part of this verse. Does it say, she that repeateth a matter separates very good friends, but it is okay to repeat it to your husband or your best friend because you tell them everything? Well, of course it doesn't say that. It just says not to repeat it. There will be times when you will have to disclose private matters to your husband or to another, and we're going to be discussing those times in a few minutes. But it is not right and okay to repeat everything to your husband or to your best friend. Cover the transgression and be a seeker of love and peace like Christ. Repeat the transgression and be a discord sower like our adversary the devil, who whispered to Eve, "Hath God said?" And he whispers still in this age, "Repeat it. Repeat it. It's the truth." Look next to Proverbs 10:19 on your outlines. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now in this first part, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, that means when there is a lot of words, there is no lack of sin. Doesn't need any more sin. It doesn't want any more sin. There's more than enough there already. There are two choices for us held within this verse as well. If we talk long enough, we are probably going to say something we should not. Now, there is an actual medical condition called logorrhea. Logo stands for words, and I think we can all figure out the rhea part. Sometimes I think I am temporarily infected with logorrhea, and I'm working at being a listener rather than a talker, and I don't want to hear a single snicker from you ladies tonight. Learn to refrain your lips, and you will find a whole lot less need to phone a friend and ask forgiveness for gossiping. And this is very important to remember. You can be forgiven for gossip, but you can never retract your words. There is unfortunately no school eraser for our words. When I have sat in court and a lawyer said something inflammatory, the other lawyer stands up and says, "Your Honor, I object." And then the judge said, "Objection sustained. Strike that from the record." And the stenographer struck it from the record. But we all heard it. We remembered it, especially because it was held in objection. I often pondered if the lawyer did not have that express purpose. Ladies, you can be forgiven for what you say, but you can never strike your words from the record. You can never erase a spoken word, and you can never undo the harm you have done. Now, in our introduction, we spoke about the wise man discerning both time and judgment. So the next portion of our class is a very important one. Now that I've frightened you into eternal silence, never to open your mouths again, let's discuss in Roman numeral 4 the scope and sequence of gossip. The scope and the sequence of gossip. In David Cloud's 1999 publication about gossip, he spent a good deal of time discussing what gossip is not. Now, I've taken four of his statements, and I'm going to share those with you and then make my own comments. I want to at least mention his excellent points so that we can be balanced regarding the topic of gossip. All right, number one, speaking truth to proper parties for a godly purpose is not gossip. Speaking truth to proper parties for a godly purpose is not gossip. So it's not wrong to share pertinent and truthful information with those who have a right to such information. There may be times where you need to share something that will protect another person. I recently read some information about sex offenders being in particular neighborhoods. If you were to find out about something like that, and you knew that neighborhood contained your friend and her children, that would be important information that you need to share. It was not gossip for Chloe and her household to apprise the Apostle Paul of the problems in the church in Corinth. And they were very specific problems. But Paul needed to correct those things, so it was right for him to hear. Years ago, we encouraged a set of parents to not allow their daughter to babysit at a particular home for reasons we had just become aware of. That was an important piece of information we need to give these people. If a person tells you an untruth and you are fully aware of the full truth, there are times setting the record straight to stop gossip is necessary. We had quite a church upheaval many years ago. A woman had gotten very angry at my husband because he did not agree that she should divorce her husband. She started a phone campaign of gossip against my husband, and close to 20 people believed what she said and ended up leaving the church before all of it was over. But the gossip stopped when the phone of a new believer rang and she was told the tale. Debbie Bissett said she would not believe such a thing about her pastor. And her strong confidence in her pastor immediately convicted this woman, who eventually recanted and confessed her lies. She called my husband. She told him she had gotten angry with him because she wanted this divorce. And she was the one who called individuals and lied about their pastor. She asked for my husband's forgiveness, which he gave her. And she phoned each and every person to whom she had gossiped. But it was too late to change the process. People had already called my husband and told him off. They wouldn't believe him. And in order to save face, they left the church. But nevertheless, speaking up and speaking out as Debbie did was right and good, and it halted this terrible cancer in the church. There may be a time you hear about possible child abuse or about a crime, or you need to tell someone something to protect them. These instances are not gossip. Number two, questioning a pastor's teaching is not gossip. Questioning a pastor's teaching is not gossip. It is not wrong to humbly ask a pastor himself questions about something you do not understand or you don't agree with. Now, our manner should be godly and humble. We should ask our pastor this in a private setting, not challenging a pastor or a Sunday school teacher publicly. And we should search the scriptures if we ever hear something we need clarification of or correction. Number three, warning of sin and error is not gossip. warning of sin and error is not gossip. The Apostle Paul clearly warned about the spiritual compromise and doctrinal error, and he named guilty parties. It is not gossip to warn others that a particular ministry or a particular religious leader is in doctrinal error. We face this with the teachings of The Bible Speaks and its founder, Carl Stevens, here in Berkshire County many years ago. Now, when the group was sued and they changed their name to the Greater Grace Outreach and moved their headquarters to the Baltimore area, my husband gave his documentation to his friend and local pastor in that area. And number four, admonishing one another is not gossip. Admonishing one another is not gossip. We are told as believers to lovingly admonish one another. This is often labeled as being a busybody or a troublemaker or a gossip, when it is clearly a part of the ministry all older believers in the Lord should be involved in with those younger in the Lord. Now, this is not to say we begin to have dominion over another's person's growth in faith, but we are to exhort them. A new and a young believer I knew some years ago would go into bars with her Christian friend. When intoxicated men would try to pick them up, they would witness to the men and tell them they needed to be saved. My young friend was thrilled with her ministry until I told her the many aspects of what she was doing was completely contrary to Scripture, especially that we are to abstain from every appearance of evil. We're not to be encouraging people to be drinking. We're placing ourselves in danger when we keep company with such sin as goes on at a bar. And my young friend simply did not agree with me until a fellow physical therapist came up to us and said to my friend, "Was that you I saw going into that dive Saturday night? I thought I was in some sleazy places, but never that bad." And immediately my young friend saw what had happened here. She was going to have a very hard time talking to this other therapist about the love and the purity and getting saved. It was a testimony against the precious and pure Son of God. Admonishing one another is not gossip. Though we have been following the concept of school being in session, and we've called this study Gossip 101, there are no detectors for gossip as obvious as metal detectors in some of our public high schools. Our detector is the Holy Spirit, and our information must clearly come from God's Word. A metal detector sounds an alarm all can hear. When the Holy Spirit sounds an alarm to our conscience and convicts us, we are the only one who can hear. Will we ignore the alarm or stop? Now, not everything we want to say or are worried about saying is going to fit neatly in a little box. This is gossip. This is not gossip. If you have a doubt, do not say it until you are sure it must be said. Speak about those difficult situations to people who are only part of the problem or part of the solution. Be particularly mindful of speaking out against either your children or your husband. Reveal to a trusted mentor only those things necessary to have your mentor guide and help you. Be particularly mindful of speaking to your children and your husband. You can gossip to them and negatively influence them against a brother or sister in Christ or one in authority. But do teach and warn your children or husband or friends when a warning is necessary. You know, with a humble attitude, desiring to please the Lord, we will begin to better discern what we should or should not say. And it is a learning process. There's going to be some ups and downs, and we're going to make some mistakes. A prayer request can still contain gossip, so be careful. Starting a sentence tenderly with some nice expression such as, "Bless her heart, she always seems to..." That can still end with gossip. There is no dressing up true gossip. All of us need to ask the Lord to put a watch at the gates of our lips and to control our tongues. When we say what we should not say, we must ask forgiveness of God and of any to whom we gossiped, and often about whom we gossiped. We must speak less and listen more. There are two final verses on your outlines under conclusion. And within those two verses, we will find great help in this topic of gossip. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Fervent charity, that's a fiery, zealous love. And charity shall cover. Cover means to hide, to veil, to hinder the knowledge of a thing. Wouldn't you like some of your worst mistakes covered by a loving friend? But Joanne, you just taught us that some things must be uncovered. Well, this is true. And what is the test for covering or uncovering? That last verse on your outlines. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." If we speak in Jesus' name and as his ambassador, what we say will not be gossip. You know, ladies, maybe what the best thing would be that we'd all be dropouts from Gossip 101. Let's pray. Father in heaven, no wonder you say that our tongue is very difficult to control. It is an unruly member, your word teaches us, and each of us have learned that's exactly right. Help us to learn what we should and should not say. And there is a balance, Lord. Some things must not be said, but other things must be said. Help us to have wisdom, discernment, judgment, timing, that we may always, always have upon our tongues the law of kindness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.